Welcome to our Halo Health podcast.
We are a physician-exclusive angel investment group that advises, connects, and invests in disruptive healthcare ventures. My name is Ruben, and I'm an oncologist and a Halo Health fellow.
Today, we will be interviewing Halo Health member Dr. Tanasi Theodoras.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode. I'm very excited today. We have another special guest from Halo Health. I have the privilege of introducing a guest who is a dynamic blend of medicine and entrepreneurship. Dr. Tanasi Theodoras, it's not just a physician. He's also a seasoned angel investor. He has over a decade of experience in emergency medicine and impressive portfolio of investments in health tech, actually in cutting edge health tech startups, I would say. He transitioned from the emergency stream to the boardroom, and he currently is the chair of the board of directors at Halo Health. Stay tuned. This episode is full of pearls and lessons to learn as physicians. And Dr. Theodoras, welcome to the show.
It's good to be here, Ruben.
Thank you so much. Let me start first. Like, I want to go back. I want to go back to the beginning of your career. What really inspired you to pursue a career in the first place in emergency medicine? And what would you give an advice for someone who wants to go to emergency medicine right now?
I went into third and fourth year not really knowing what I wanted to do. It was a time where I was thinking really, really different things. And while I was exploring different options, and anesthesia seemed to be the number one option, I did my emergency medicine rotation, and it was the one place where 8-9 hours flew by without realizing that how fast he had gone. So it was much, much easier to choose. And I chose the 2+1 path, which gave me maximum flexibility, and I really enjoyed my time for about 13 years before I started venturing into other things. In terms of advice to new people wanting to go into emergency medicine, I would firstly look inwards before looking at the actual career. Like, what do you like? What are your strengths? And basically ask people who are in the profession what their top three, top five things that they enjoy, top three frustrating things. And if you start to feel that there's a consistency there, then maybe take that as valuable information and incorporate it into, again, what you like, what your strengths are, and make a decision from there. But start with you before you do the actual profession.
Gotcha. You mentioned you spent like 13 years before going to angel investment. Did I hear that right?
13 years before transitioning out of emergency medicine. I became a very active angel investor as of 2020. So that would have been 10 years.
Can you tell me a bit about your transition? Like, what, like, you were one day in emergency medicine, and then like how the idea came around, like, how the idea popped up, like, I want to go to angel investment. This is something lots of physicians don't know about. So how did this opportunity come to you?
Yeah. So basically, after 7-8 years or 10,000 hours or whatever milestone you want to give yourself, once, you know, you've done clinical medicine for a long time, you want a new challenge. And typically that path from there would be, or when I was going through medical school, seemed to be three things: teaching, administration, or research. And I knew from almost day one that research was not going to be the one for me. It was a little too slow, too bureaucratic. Administration, I tried briefly. It didn't seem to be a good fit. And teaching, although it was nice, it really, I couldn't see myself doing it for 20 years. So I had to look at different things. So I tried a little bit of international emergency medicine. I spent some time in Greece setting up the first training program in emergency medicine. And while I was doing that, I got involved with a startup here in Montreal called Dialogue, which was a startup in telemedicine back in 2017, 2018. And I got to see how things work from a small startup at seed stage when I joined all the way up to IPO. And that really was an eye-opening experience of how things can work differently in healthcare and how you can have change quickly. You can have quick iterations and people really listen to your feedback and improve care really from 1 week to the next, which was very, very different than my experience at the hospital, where even, you know, starting a new protocol on how to deal with a certain disease or how to triage a certain condition took several weeks to months just to get through the different committees. So after that, just before the pandemic, when I was looking, you know, again for a new challenge and wanted to be more involved in startups, I started learning about angel investing on my own. And then I saw, can I do something in Canada in healthcare with other people who there must be other people who are interested in this. And I caught Halo Health fairly early on, right before the pandemic, just by Googling and sending a message to the landing page. And I spent the first couple of years learning, attending live events, and then attending pre-screening as a paid member. And then I became a member of the board of directors, and then now I'm the chair. So
very interesting.
Yeah, it was a transition. It wasn't that planned, I would say, but yeah, it happened naturally, and then I really enjoyed my journey through that.
I'm interested to know, like, before you knew Halo Health, how were you able to get into the startup? Or like, what was the day? Like, was it like someone reached out to you on LinkedIn, or was it someone you knew told you about the, I think you mentioned Dialogue. It's called the Startup Called Dialogue.
So there was an itch, because back in 2014, I was traveling in Europe and people were using Spotify a lot. So I was interested in new technologies. And then I came back to Canada and I thought, you know, I'd always been investing. I wanted to see, Spotify made a lot of sense to me at the time. So I wanted to see how I could buy some shares of Spotify. So I made my first secondary, or I don't know, private market investment in Spotify in 2014 with a really good outcome in 2017. So there was that initial itch to be involved in technology. Now, in terms of startups in health, listen, it's the most random thing. I went to a Christmas party from in our department, and one of the new emergency physicians, you know, we always ask each other, so what were you doing before you came to this department? And, you know, she told me about what she was doing, plus her side hustle at the time was working at Dialogue, and I didn't know what Dialogue was. So I looked into it, and then I interviewed, you know, a couple of weeks later, and got in like maybe 2 months later.
Very cool.
Random. What? Randomness.
Yeah, I love that. Would you call that, like, if I ask you now, so you've been investing for a while in this space, what would be like the most rewarding thing happened with this like career of investing or years of investing?
I think the most rewarding thing is getting those quarterly updates from founders, where they tell you what's new and exciting in their company, hearing about their wins. That's really something I look forward to every 3 months, just getting the updates. Our sales are up, or here's a challenge, how we overcame it. I think that's the number one thing. Now, you know, when an exit comes, that's great, but hearing that, and then if I can contribute in some way, whether it's with an introduction or let's say some specific task, then I'm happy to. But really, it's the updates and seeing that journey from idea to product that actually people need and people pay money for.
And when it comes to investing in startups, so if you're going to name like 2-3 things you look for when you are on like a pitch call, or like you are talking to a startups, like what are like 3 important things you want to fulfill before making an investment in this startup? I know there are many, but like if you're going to choose 3.
So three top things. I think the number one thing is the team. So you need a founder who, or a team of founders who are committed. I typically do not invest in people who are part-time in their startup, even if their full-time job is being a professor or some prestigious job in industry or academia. So I need commitment. More importantly, someone who is an expert in that specific task. So someone who will outperform other people because they have deep knowledge of the problem they're solving. And that doesn't necessarily mean degrees and distinctions, but someone who knows the industry that they're going into. Someone who can sell, really someone who can sell the idea, someone who can sell the product, and by being able to sell, recruit the best people possible so that they build a team around them because they're not going to be able to do it by themselves. So team, number two, I guess, is it needs to be a big market. So the total addressable market needs to be big. Otherwise, even if they perform, it's unlikely for my investment to have outsized returns, which is what we want in this in this industry. And then the last one would be timing. So you want the team, not the team, the company to have some significant tailwinds if possible. So if for example, if they're going into VR and Apple just released the latest headset, and there's a lot of attention in VR, maybe that's a significant tailwind. So those three things are usually what I start with.
And you don't mind me asking you, like, do you invest only in health tech startups, or do you also like expand to other types of startups?
I have invested in other types. Two out of three times successfully. The
Tell me more about them. I'm excited now. Okay.
third time. But usually it would have to be with other angel investors who know the sector quite well and qu are quite confident investing their money, and then I'll follow on with them.
Gotcha.
So listen, the one that went to zero, basically it was a second time founder that had a very, very successful exit, and he was starting a new project, and I was able to get in from essentially day one. So it was really a blank check, not a blank check. So it was a bet on the founder
Yeah.
that didn't go well. And also it was really, I think, yeah, it was one of my first investments. So I think it was the price of admission into this whole angel investing experience. And then the other two, it came through my network that I've built through time. And they're not even in Canada, they're in the UK, but founders that I've known who have really good access to British companies. And so I had one, they're both in fintech. So founders that I knew who knew the actual found the founders of the companies quite well. They were very excited about the team. The product made sense to me. Then I also got information from third parties about these companies specifically and the founders. They all gave me similar feedback, so I felt comfortable investing. And really, listen, on paper, they're doing extremely, extremely well. Especially one of them, one of the two, was raised a second round already. So they raised a C plus, and then now they're gonna close their Series A by the end of the year. They're already doing really well. And the updates I get from the other one are extremely positive as well.
Very interesting. I just want to clarify like a couple of terms mentioned in your conversation for physicians who don't know what exit is. Exit is the dream of any entrepreneur, the person who builds a company and sell it. Also, it's the dream of investors because that's how one of the ways they can make their money back. But talking about terms, let's say it's 2018, 2019, and like you at that time, you didn't know a lot about angel investing, as you said. Okay, so if you want to start at that time, let's say I'm completely naive. I know nothing. Where should I start? What should I read? I want to learn about this type of investment.
Oh, yeah, you're bringing back a while ago. So, I mean, start with why you want to do this, I would say. Just ask yourself why you want to do this. And I would start with something easy, like Angel by Jason Calacanis. Just,
Great book.
really, really basic. And then if you like that, then, you can read Venture Deals, which is, I think, the industry standard when someone starts.
Yes, I'm reading that now. It's a very, very good book too.
The one that I really, really like, and maybe is not as obvious, is The Power Law, which gives you a good idea of the history of the industry and why their impact is so outsized. If you look at the Magnificent Seven, I think all of them were startups at some point. So the companies that are driving the S&P, they were startups at some point, maybe in the 70s. Maybe in the 90s or later, but they were startups. So I really, really enjoyed reading The Power Law. And the most recent one that I think makes a lot of sense, even if you're not going to go into investing, is The Venture Mindset. So basically, how to think about taking risk and getting benefits from taking risk, whether you're going to be in venture capital or whether you're just going to stay within your organization at a hospital or so those are the ones that I really enjoy reading. There's others, but yeah, those are what I would recommend.
Gotcha. And I want to switch gears now from your career to Hello Health. You mentioned also you joined Hello Health and you started attending the calls and you were a member. Can you tell me a bit more about this? Like, what does that mean?
So I think physicians can find this quite easy. So when you're not a paying member, you can join the live events, which happen roughly every 2 months, and then you see very, very selected companies presenting what they're doing and asking for a specific minimum investment so that you can buy a piece of the company. And that gives you an idea of what angel investing is like, what kind of companies are out there, and how your money can have impact and give you some returns. So that gives you an initial idea. But if you really want to learn how to pick the right companies, then you really need case-based learning, which is what we're used to from medical school. And that involves seeing a lot of companies, developing some kind of pattern recognition, even though the feedback loop is fairly long, but at least you get some pattern recognition with regards to teams and how what a strong CEO looks like versus someone who you would not necessarily invest in. So you need to have seen, I think I would say at least 100, but if you want a minimum at least 50 before I would put in my money. And that you can do as a paying member. We have weekly screening calls where, again, it's a selected company, not as selected as and as vetted as the live events, but there has been an initial selection, and you can do that 2 3 times a week for an hour, 20 minutes of getting a presentation from the founder, 20 minutes of questions by our fellows who have experience and have different expertise and different backgrounds, PhDs and MDs, as well as like executive director who's very experienced in this, and then 20 minutes of debriefing. So there's a lot of learning that can happen in those screening calls, and that's where I did most of my learning. Sure, you have to invest at some point, sure, you have to have some skin in the game, but a lot of the learning happens there, and I think that's where I got the most value. And then you have also a community of physicians who are more experienced investors, and we send you books as well, like Angel and Zero to One, which is a great book.
Yeah, it's a great book.
Yeah, I have two copies of it now. But really, I think the meat and potatoes of the value is that those case-based sessions, essentially, that we call screening sessions.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think like if you right now go and read about like read Angel or Venture Deals or like it's gonna be so dry. It's just like reading a textbook, reading Harrison, the medical textbook before going to medical school, before showing up on the ward. But like once you show up on the ward and you start seeing patients and doing some MCQs, multiple choice questions, And then these textbooks are going to make sense. And that's how I like talk about Hello Health. It's like case-based study, like you said. Like I remember the first couple of times I joined, like I really didn't know what I was looking for until like maybe 50 or 60-ish call. I was like developed a criteria, things like I want to look for in a company. And then reading those books were very, very beneficial. I completely agree with you. I think Hello Health is like, it's the question bank that help you to pass this exam. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, that's a good analogy.
Yes, and I'm curious to also like if you're okay with it. So like physicians usually like the get go to physicians for investment is like stocks, and we have like many Facebook groups. Do you also like invest like in stocks or real estate or other types of assets, or like is it something do you want to be specialized in? You do only startups.
I do mostly ETFs, you know, broad ETFs, S&P 500 or the entire market. Occasionally, I'll stock pick with variable results. But I'm not involved in real estate. I'm not involved in this asset class that's more hands-on. Don't have the time for it. I prefer to spend some more time in venture capital and in angel investing. But
gotcha.
It's still a great asset class for sure. And over the last 15 years in Canada, you would have really done extremely well. But it's
a yes.
My personal interest.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think it's a personal interest. I think I agree with you. I think investment is also like, it's just like a hobby in one way or another. Like stocks, people make billions from it if you know how to play the game. But for some reason, like I know about it, but I can't sit down and really digest and go through like the very details of the company. On the other hand, when it comes to startups, like I love talking to people, and here I am talking to you. Like I love talking to founders and betting on them, betting on the market. And I think it's more rewarding, especially like as a physician, you see the problem, you know there is a problem, and then suddenly someone with the solution pops up. So you want to invest in them because at one hand you want to fix the problem, and the other hand it's type of asset you want to like make more money through your investment.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. But you know, I would really start with interest. If you're interested in, you're going to do better because you're going to put in the work, and it's not going to feel as onerous to do it.
Gotcha. Are there any, so through your history with Hello Health, any like startups that are really close to your heart, like made a nice memory?
I mean, it has to be Red and the Logic. Invested in the fall of 2023. You know, I've met the founders a couple of times, especially Abid. I really believe in the product. It's a virtual reality, essentially ophthalmology screening test. They started with visual fields, but they're now doing the entire screen ophthalmological testing automated with just a small VR. And they were young founders, very, very dedicated, knew the technology quite well. And we were able to see them from just minimal traction to several hundred thousand ARR right now, and getting ready to raise their second round there. So definitely Retina Logic is the one that stands out. And it was also the first deal that we led. We were lead investors in.
Yeah, I completely agree. I remember the startup very well. And also I met the founder also in Hello Health event in Toronto. Since we're talking still about Hello Health, you have experience in this space and the industry. What do you think like really makes Hello Health unique when compared to like other angel investment groups or VC groups?
Really the people, and by that it's not a cop-out answer because everyone's going to say our people, but we have an army of fellows who are MDs and PhDs, and you're one of them, with different skills, different background, that will do all of that filtering, whether it's the initial pre-screening before we get to the screening calls, and then after we get to the screening calls, if the company makes it through, there's a lot of due diligence that happens from fellows, so that's a lot of man hours from experts in their field. And then this goes to the investment committee, where you have four experienced investors deciding which companies are going to make it to the live event. Then you have really vetted companies that make it to the live event with an investment memo. So a lot of the legwork of just being an angel investor and being in an angel group is done, is already done for you for a very small fee, essentially an annual fee, that is very competitive compared to other angel groups. I would say much less, because we're a non-for-profit. So a lot of the legwork is done for you, in terms of due diligence, but also in terms of sourcing, in terms of getting good deals. Some of the latest companies that we had in our live events had co-investors like J&J and Coastal Ventures. And Coastal Ventures is a tier one.
It's one of the biggest. It is the biggest, if not like on the same size of Sequoia.
Yeah. So this you will not be able to access easily in other angel groups, and all the due diligence, it saves you a whole bunch of time. And the biggest advantage now, and this is brand new, is that you can enter investments with a very small ticket, with a very small amount, like $5,000 Canadian, through a special purpose vehicle that has no fees. This is extremely, it's a big win. You can access an amazing company with a small amount of money and not pay fees, which, you know, if you're a Canadian physician and you're with an MD management, you know how much fees were killing your returns. And now you have access to this asset class that does tend to outperform. It's not a guarantee, with no fees other than your annual subscription. So I think these really set us apart.
No, and I completely agree with you. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, and if anything, we need to really get the word out there, because it's brand new, and I think if more people knew about this, they would be even more excited.
I completely agree with you, because like if you think about it, like physicians like go and invest in ETFs and stuff like that, and they do tons of self-education, and mainly ETFs is like a bunch of stocks, and some physicians also buy stocks, which is like part of a company. But to do that, like you have to spend hours and hours. Like right now I'm a bit active in the stock market, and sometimes like you see stock that is like $4 or $5 is cheap, but you know that this have future, but you have to spend hours going through the due diligence. And that's what Hello Health really saves me. And that's why like I'm more into like startups and angel investing rather than stocks, because like all that work is done. All the, as you said, like say there is someone who's looking at the team, telling you the team okay or not, like the product. Is there a team product fit? Is there is a product market fit? And all these things are like are done, brought to your plate. And this is like someone is telling you, like, would you like to invest, let's say, in Google in the 2000 before like their IPO? It is similar to that, because like this is very small company, but also the upscale benefit is huge.
Yeah. So
yeah,
I think, and then we're well, you know, to toot our own horn, we're well known in Canada at this point.
Yes.
And it's only going to get bigger. It's only going to get bigger. And we have really good relationships with bigger VCs, later stage VCs, other angel groups. So I'm very, very optimistic about the future.
Same here. Thank you so much. These were my questions. Thank you so much for your time. I don't know if you have any last feedback or like advice for someone who is going to this space, or what, like last words, what would you say?
Follow your interest, follow your natural interest. And if you want, I think the smallest commitment is just come to one of the live events. It doesn't cost you anything. Just, you know, spend a couple hours, see if you like it. And if you do, come again. And if you come a third time and you enjoy it, maybe become a member and then learn even more, get access to even more companies and really learn from learn from the screening calls, and we have a really interesting and vibrant community.
Great. Awesome. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Appreciate your time. Thank you so much for being here today.
My pleasure.